I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 this morning, beginning in verse 13. I want to digress this morning on Father's Day and just speak for a couple minutes briefly and humbly about the great subject of the day in our nation we call Father's Day. And I realize all of the ladies are thinking, oh no, this would have been the perfect day, it's sunny and balmy. This would have been my day to skip church because it's the Father's Day message. But if you want to stay with me just for a minute and grasp just how important this subject is and how the men of your life need encouragement, they need prayer. And for you younger ladies who perhaps are not yet married to a man, these are the things that you want to see in place before you get serious and say, I do. These are the things that need to be there. But in addition to all of the above, the whole issue of men in our society is under attack. It's just under siege. Biblical manhood. It's like a great battle, and the enemy is overrunning men in every circle of our nation. I just want to speak about that humbly and briefly, and as one who comes wanting the things that we're going to talk about today alongside of you, not above you, just really desire this. And ladies, just pray that the men in your life would rise and grow in these areas. Just really important. Let's read together 1 Corinthians 16. And I'll be brief, and I have pages and pages, and just, you wouldn't believe how many pages of thoughts I have before me. I'm going to try to edit some of this. And I've asked the Holy Spirit just to give me humble wisdom this morning. Let's read together. This is a passage perhaps you've never looked at before one time in the Christian Bible. I know when the first time I studied 1 Corinthians and I came to this, I was somewhat overwhelmed because I had never seen this before. No one's ever preached on this that I know of. It was never an emphasis in any Bible study, any Sunday morning, and it's there at the end of this epistle, where Paul is trying to correct 100 different things. And read with me 1 Corinthians 16. It's just fascinating. If you're here spiritually right now, read this with me. He's speaking to men. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Let's pray. Again, dear God, just truly, truly, truly come broken here. As the messenger, we have the treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power would be of God and not of us. And we yield our spirit to your spirit today, dear God. We pray that you would teach us, that you would speak to us, encourage us, convict us, exhort us, move us forward as men, and dear God, as ladies, that we would see the need to pray for men and seek men of this character. I pray it would be so, that you would take the willing offering of your messenger today and make it profound. I pray that the word of God would fall in good soil and bear fruit today. In Jesus' name, amen. The devotional writer J. Oswald Sanders was talking about this subject on Father's Day. And listen to what he said. In the Bible, God is frequently represented as searching for a man of a certain type. Not men plural, but a man singular. Not a group, but an individual. When God does discover a man who conforms to his spiritual requirement, who is willing to pay the full price of discipleship, he uses him to the limit despite his patent shortcomings. And I just want to start by encouraging all of the men today who are desiring to do this right, to be a godly man. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you from the perspective of the pastor's study, again, I stand with you, alongside of you, knowing the difficulty of the world, the flesh, the devil, the culture. Everything is against this message today. Everything. The organized forces of hell, the organized forces of society, the organized forces of the media, the culture, the academic elites, the schools, the wealthy, everything is against godly men in the church and in the world. And so as we desire to apply this and learn this and grow in these areas, again, just want to encourage you not to grow weary in the struggle. And I realize many of you are desiring to do this God's way, and praise God for you right here this morning. The Apostle Paul understood the gravity of this subject. In fact, in his final instruction to the Corinthian church, think about this with me. By the way, this church had a problem with real doctrinal and practical sin. Any subject that you can imagine that the culture is harping about today, this church struggled with sin in its doctrine, in its behavior, in its leadership. And Paul is coming to the end of a spiritual polemic, a spiritual treatise, and he's appealing directly to men in this context, and he's deliberately ambiguous in verses 13 and 14, knowing the antecedent to this is everything that's already been mentioned. All of the problems in practical life, in doctrinal life, that reared their ugly heads in the church. And so, it goes without saying, to be a godly man in a sinful culture, you're not going to tackle anything that's more difficult. To try to be a man of God in a world that hates God, that hates Christ, that hates the church, that hates the Bible, that hates Christians, that hates the family, you're going against everything in the world that is natural and easy. And as we march into this passage, listen to the words of 1 Samuel 13. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I want to just take you briefly through this. We'll break this into the four obvious points. Look at verse 13 with me. The first important point here I want to draw out for you is in verse 13. Be on the alert. Very interesting syntax. Present active imperative command. Be on the alert, men. Start right here with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. In order to be a godly man, to have an impact, to be a godly father, a parent, a lay person at work, in the community, you have to start with what Paul brings up in verse 13, this imperative command to be on the alert, be on the lookout, be awake. In other words, it's the opposite of being lethargic, being sleepy, being lackadaisical. This is a huge, huge problem for so many. This principle of being awake to the task. One of my professors wrote a book on this subject, Jim George. This book is delightful. It's called A Man After God's Own Heart. And in the book I was reading, he talked about the disease of the church in his lifetime. And he's a generation older than myself. But even going back another generation, he called it the disease of spiritual laziness. Men, you just want to hear not a man speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking about the danger of spiritual apathy, spiritual sleep, spiritual lethargy. He tells the story in his book about he also had a group of discipleship, a men's group on Saturday morning. I think that's popular. A lot of ministers do that. They have a men's Saturday group. And he talked about how he was begging the men to come, knowing that really, in order to do this, you have to be linked up with other people who are like-minded, that can strengthen you and encourage you when you grow weary. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And he was going on, and we talk about that so often. And he gave the simple illustration how the meeting at the church was at 7. He passed the golf course on the way, and it was overcrowded with cars. They opened at 5 a.m. at first light in the summer. But at the study that he was holding, he couldn't get more than a handful of men. But the unsaved man would be crowding the golf course at first light. And it's a powerful, simple illustration. Man, it just starts with saying, you know what? Holy Spirit, I hear you speaking to me. There's really nothing more important to live for than to trying to be a godly man. Spiritual laziness, spiritual apathy, being lackadaisical, letting someone else be involved in the heavy lifting. That's a temptation for every single person in this room. And we start with being aware of this problem. We have to be alert. We have to be alive. Like a big day outdoors, whatever it is we like to do, whether it's hunting, fishing, a project at home, or a family outing. We set the alarm early. We're excited. We get up. We're ready. We're prepared. The spiritual life is the exact same way. You have to look at it with that same type of preparation and discipline. Else, spiritual apathy will indeed take over. And this is where we begin, to be on the alert of the things of God. Be ready, be sober, be prepared, knowing the opposition. Second, look at the next. We'll just take each one of these points. They're just so clear. Stand firm in the faith. These are all very much related. Our second point, stand firm in the faith. Galatians chapter 5:1, Paul said, "It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm." Listen, I copied down from my concordance this exact same Greek phrase. Just listen to the parallel passages. "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm." Philippians 1:27. Philippians chapter 4, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord." 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says, "For this reason, brethren, in all our distresses, afflictions, and difficulties, we are comforted through your faith, for now we live if you stand firm in the Lord." That's 1 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says, "So then, brethren, stand firm, hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." How many times that phrase is mentioned? It's over and over in the New Testament, to stand firm in the faith. What are we talking about? It's the once-for-all faith delivered to the saints. It's the Christian faith. Christ's life, His death, His resurrection as payment for sin, the one way to the Father. Stand firm in the historic Christian faith. It's such a glorious, underrated point in a time where men and churches and pastors, for that matter, are relenting. They're not standing firm, they're retreating. And when COVID came, there was you can count the guys on one hand that said, you know what, we need to keep meeting together instead of canceling everything. They were standing firm in the faith. It's just one example. And to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us today, to be a godly father, a man, a worker, a lay person, a church leader, a pastor, you have to understand this word that Paul uses about holding the line. There's nothing you can undertake, there's nothing you can do that's going to leave a greater impact to the next generation than standing firm in your faith. Terry and I were, a couple weeks ago, I apologize, I didn't mention the anniversary. It was on June 6th, the D-Day anniversary, the invasion of Normandy by the American Allied forces there. Just an unimaginable campaign against an enemy that was dug in on the beach. And Paul, and it wasn't just the men who came in by sea. There was a whole other part of that Normandy invasion, the paratroopers. Fascinating if you read about that. It just makes for fascinating reading. The 101st Airborne, really well-known company, easy company, they come in and they paratroop behind enemy lines. And you can read about the men during World War II, and it's the word that Paul uses here. It's stakete. And as World War II evolved, it's very interesting as we entered in June 6th, I believe it was 1944, that World War II, the whole thing was over in less than a year. But there was some very, very intense conflict during that year. And you may have heard of the one battle, the very famous battle. Terry and I were reading and looking at a documentary about the Battle of Bastogne. She was asking questions about World War II. I said, well, you want to learn about the Battle of Bastogne, because that was just a huge, that was very important. And these paratroopers had the task of holding the line. The Germans are fortified in that little town of Foy. And the guns and the big guns and the rockets and all of it's pointed at the tree line where the paratroopers were. But they're told by their superiors, you're going to hold this position. And it's the word that Paul uses, stakete. It's a soldier holding his ground against an ongoing attack of an enemy. And that's what we're called to do, men. And it's fascinating, the Battle of Bastogne. How many soldiers lost their lives and their legs and their arms and their buddies. And they were blown up with rockets in foxholes. And they held that position until Patton could come and break the Germans. And they did a heroic job. And in many ways today, man, we're fighting the Battle of Bastogne all over for Christianity. And ladies, if you don't get passionate about prayer, you have to see the church as the Battle of Bastogne. If the enemy wins this battle of our age, I mean, the church is just one age away from going extinct. And we have to stand firm. We have to hold the line in a world that is opposing the Bible. It's opposing Christ. It's opposing preaching. It's opposing preaching about sin and the sinner's need to repent. Jesus, the one way to the Father. And we have to stand firm in the faith like a soldier who holds the line. Listen to the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's no greater achievement, men, than you could come to the end of your life. And someone would say at the end, as they're remembering you, however they do that, and they would say, you know what? He just died, but he fought the good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4, 7. Stand firm, men. See it as a battle. Be on the alert. Be awake spiritually. Be willing to sacrifice spiritually. There's nothing else worth doing or sacrificing for. And third, this is just absolutely fascinating. And I'm not even sure, I'm just going to totally humble myself here before you. This next point, I just prayed that the Holy Spirit would give you wisdom and give me wisdom, because I'm not even sure exactly what this means, but I'm going to try my best as I've studied this and prayed about this, and I've looked at the context in which this was written. The next phrase will take your breath away, men. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, the third clause there. Act like men, be strong. Paul closes this theological polemic, this argument against false doctrine and sinful living, with this admonition. Look at it in your Bible. To act like men, be strong. I'm going to try to help you understand what this means and what this doesn't mean. It's one Greek word here makes up that whole translation, andresis thing. It was the word in Paul's time for masculinity. It was the word for a biological man. It was the word that came to mean, and it evolved into the word courage. Very similar to the last point, stakete, where we talked about the military example. So this is all very much in that realm of danger and activity and struggle and hardship. Paul is thinking, I believe, of the concept of courage in the world and in the church, where people don't want the things of God, truth, doctrine, Christ. And he's saying, act like men in that context, be strong in that context. Even the godless atheist Hollywood God-hating culture, they're still making movies where they define manliness and courage this way, where a guy faces terrible odds, willing to give up his life for something or some cause, whatever it is. That's what Paul is referring to in Paul's time in this era in the church. To be a Christian man, we can't even fathom what this is today. But maybe for the next generation, they will live this perhaps. But in Paul's day, for these men to be genuine Christians, they were putting themselves in danger, in harm's way. To be a Christian was to suffer physically, economically, perhaps to shorten your life on earth. Your ability to have any type of comfort or prosperity on earth. Act like men. Be strong. Not to mention in this church, in this Corinthian church, they were so afraid of death. They were so afraid of the pagan influence of philosophy, the false teaching, the false doctrine that was influencing their minds. You had a whole bunch of people in that church, and they were falsely understanding and interpreting the resurrection. And you had fear that was spreading through the church related to the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the body. And it's interesting in this documentary where we were working through the World War II battles, when you came to the Battle of Bastogne, it was so horrific, unimaginable, that indeed there were a handful of the soldiers, and they couldn't handle that intensity, and they became fearful. And they were talking about how the commanders were talking about how this fear on the line is contagious. And they had to get these guys, and they had to slap them or get them out of there. Because it spreads. And all of this is the context of 1 Corinthians 16. There was fear in the church related to death and the resurrection. There was fear in the church related to Paul's message on leading the church and the false exercise of spiritual gifts in the church. And some of the men, they needed to stand against what was happening and what was wrong. And they were afraid to get the church back in order, to get the church back in line, to get families and children back in line. The Bible says, act like men, be strong. And it's just a time. I think maybe every real genuine Christian church in every town and every land this morning perhaps should be preaching about 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, where men are in a battle, and so many are losing the battle to fear and immorality and other passions that are corrupting the purity of the spiritual life. What does it mean for us today in 2021? Well, this is what I was thinking about as I was putting my thoughts together. I was taught that you have to let the Holy Spirit do the work of applying the Scripture in the lives of people. And I really believe that. And I can't tell you what it means specifically for you today. I think the Holy Spirit has to do that work. And that's why Paul is deliberately ambiguous in verse 13 when he talks about this subject. You have to have a pattern of life, a pattern of thought, a pattern of action, a pattern of behavior that represents courage, faithfulness, commitment when it comes to the things of God in a world, in a church that will be against the things of God. And you have to let the Holy Spirit apply that and ask God what this means for each one of us. Because we're all different. Our personality makeup is all, we're so very different. We have different gifts to use and administer. But to act like a man, in addition, in this context, Paul is thinking about the principle of spiritual intimate relationships that foster the growth and the health of the church. We mentioned it earlier, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is all part of Paul's thought process, I believe. To act like a man, to be strong, is something that only God can produce. To be a servant, to be humble, but when necessary, to do and say the things that are not popular. And then we close with the balance. So just finally, very briefly, verse 14, we close right here. I mean, after all of the intensity of being on, all of this is military language. Be on the alert, stand firm. I mean, it's like a drill sergeant at basic training. And then the scene shifts in verse 4. Look at verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. Only the Christian Bible has such a paradoxical way of outlining the truth. Amen. I hope you see that. I hope that has an impact on you. As I've tried to give you the sense of the words and the context and the syntax, you come to verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. Paul is thinking of the example of the Lord Jesus. He's thinking of Christ-like love that's willing to sacrifice and serve and be humble, and to do what is necessary for someone who doesn't deserve your attention. Let all that you do be done in love. Sacrificial agape love. To love as Christ loved. To love the things of God, but to love sinners. Oh, that's when you know the Holy Spirit is working. When you can love the things of God, the truth. When you can have this military passion, but at the very same time be gentle. and humble and meek and mild. Father's Day 2021, it's just an epic battle for the hearts of men in the church and in the culture. They were telling me yesterday at the men's group, I didn't see this, but I have no trouble believing this. They were saying they're trying to cancel Father's Day now. Just pretend that men don't even exist anymore. You can't make that up. They're trying to say there's no difference in the sexes. You can't. I mean, if you told your great grandfathers who are dead and buried that, they'd say you can't be serious. They're trying to take men. They're trying to cancel men out of the world and out of the church. In extraordinary times in which we live, it's a satanic attack on the family. You kill the family. It starts with cutting off the head, which is the father, amen, of the family. Let the Holy Spirit move you today. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Let's pray. Father, again, every time we gather, we're just dependent on your grace. And take the offering of the messenger and the heart of the messenger, and I pray this would fall in good soil, and you would bear fruit, and that the men would see the value of their work to the next generation. And I pray that we would be awake spiritually, and that we would hold the line of the historic Christian faith and the church in our generation, that we would have this masculine courage to do it in the face of opposition, and that finally we would be like our Lord, and that we would do it with great love, great Christ-likeness, great compassion, great empathy, great sympathy, the great supernatural balance that exemplify Jesus' life, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we close.